Welcome to Christ Fellowship Bible Church radio program. Stay tuned for singing and the morning message. Good morning and welcome to Christ Fellowship Bible Church radio program. My name is Steve Willing and I pastor Christ Fellowship Bible Church. Christ Fellowship Bible Church is an independent church that serves the Chrisfield Marion Station area, and we meet at 5910 Chrisfield Highway here in Marion Station. Our Sundays begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m. We have classes for our adults and the youth are welcome to join. Then also, following our Sunday school hour, we have our worship service, and that starts at 10 o'clock. And I'd like to thank Gene Ward for stepping in and preaching for me last week while I was away on Tangier preaching revival. And also down at St. Paul's in Winona preaching homecoming for them in the morning. It's been a good week, and I'm thankful for the Lord, for the folks I've got here at the church who stepped up for Gene preaching for me in the morning, Steve Long leading the worship service. And then that evening, I appreciate Reggie Bell leading the worship, and then for Mike Harrison preaching for us Sunday night. But back to a regular week this week, so I'd invite you to come out. Come on out this morning. It's only about 8:30 or so. You got plenty of time to join us as we look forward to worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. Tonight we'll be coming back at 6 o'clock for our evening worship. It's just more of a modified version of our morning, so you're welcome to join us there. Tuesday evening, we'll be having Bible study. We're doing the book of Isaiah right now, having a great study, going verse by verse. So come on out and join us for that. That's 7 o'clock Tuesday evening. Then on Wednesday mornings, we shift everything over to the Taws Nursing Home. We have a time of singing and prayer and devotion there with the residents, and the community is invited to join us. We're there on either the second or third floor, depending upon the week. But you can ask the lady at the front desk, and she'll certainly be glad to tell you what floor we're on. That's 10 o'clock Wednesday morning. Well, with all that being said, I've got a song here picked out before I bring the message, and I pray the Lord would use it to be a blessing to each and every one of you.
He molded and built a small, lonely would grow to be thorns that would make his son bleed. Then he made a green stem, gave it leaves, and then gave it sunshine and rain and sheltered it. God looked down through time and
And that was Miss Sandy Whips singing for us. He Grew the Tree, one of my favorite songs that Sandy sings. And just knowing about that, of as the Bible talks about, that there was a lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. We understand that that was Jesus Christ. Even before God put it all in motion, the Lord himself had already worked out a plan of salvation for us. Right now I've got a message I preached a few Sunday nights ago out of the book of Nahum, Nahum chapter 2. And dealing with that of idols in our lives, those things of which we would depend upon. And apart from the Lord, those things can quickly pass from us.
Because he who scatters has come up before their face. And the Bible says in verse 13 that the Lord says, behold, I am against you. So even though that there are those that we would know for these people that they may have thought that we would never be overtaken by anyone or any other nation, but when God come against them, we find out that that's not the case. That they would be taken. And God would, as we read through and we get a fuller picture of just the nature of people, the things that we depend upon, the things that we put our trust in, the things that we think would never be taken away from us, things of which we would be dependent upon, those things that we would find for our own comfort and safety. Apart from God, we know that God would consider them worthless idols. That God would consider those things, if you are leaning upon things to think that they will carry you into a greater or brighter future, a place where you think that nothing itself can touch it. God is saying, apart from him, if we are leaning upon other things, if we have our own pools, just as Nineveh was once looked at as this pool of old, this pool of water of old, a place of refuge, an oasis in a desert. If we think that we have something like that apart from God, we're foolish. We're foolish people. God would call them worthless idols, is what the Lord would say throughout the Old Testament, and what we even see in the New, that God would consider those things that human beings lean upon apart from the Creator God, Jehovah God, that they are considered worthless idols. Back up in Isaiah just a little bit, that some of those things of which we would cling to at times are people or nations themselves. Chapter 40 of the book of Isaiah. You know, we have people that feel that government is the end of all things. That government will solve all our social issues. It will cover all the issues of poverty, of that of unemployment. That government itself, that is the end of all things. That will bring us to a utopia. If we just have the right kind of government with the right kind of people running that government, that we can live as a utopian type people. But the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 40, looking at verse 17, God says this. He says, all nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. So when we look even as great as our nation is, has been in its past, we understand that if we forsake God, that when we put God outside that of the realms of being the lead, that we're not looking at him as our guide, as our strength, as the one who is able to keep carrying us on into the generations until he returns, if we're trusting in the government itself or the nation itself, God himself says that all nations are as nothing before him, excluding none, that all are. They are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. And we understand when people put their hope and trust in government, friends, even at the heights of nations and the things that they are capable of doing, they will still, in the long run, not satisfy. They will still not add up to what the deepest of human need is. Maybe we can eliminate poverty. Maybe we can eliminate homelessness. Maybe we can eliminate that of unemployment. Maybe we can do all these things, but nations themselves, governments themselves, will never meet the deepest need. Only God can do that. And any time we put our hope and trust in government or in nations or in one man, that becomes such, as God says here, a worthless idol. That becomes idolatry. Jeremiah also has a few things to say. You jump there to Jeremiah. Keep your finger there in chapter 40 because we're going to come back to that. But Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah the 10th chapter. And this whole chapter deals with that of idolatry, of idols. But one verse that I do want to zero in on is verse 8. The Bible says there in verse 8 of chapter 10 of Jeremiah, he says, "But they are altogether dull-hearted and foolish. A wooden idol is a worthless doctrine." So we understand that there is a great difference between these idols of which the Lord himself would speak about in this chapter and that of the one true living God. And why you and I today should not cling to some oasis in a desert, but we need to cling on to that of the one true living God. Because as God says here, that they are all together, as he speaks about those who would trust in these idols, they would trust in other things apart from him, that he says that this wooden idol, it's a worthless doctrine, it's a worthless teaching. If that's what people point us to, if we've got individuals out there that are saying with their particular ideologies or philosophies, whatever their take in on their particular worldview is, and they point people to go to this or go to that, and they're not pointing them to God, then we understand that, friends, that truly is idolatry. And as it's noted here, it is a worthless doctrine. That leads us to Jeremiah 14. When we speak about those things that are taught, when we speak about these things that people cling to, whether they are physical things or people themselves or other religions or certain ideologies, Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 14 says this. He says, "And the Lord said to me, 'The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart.'" So even within the confines of what we would know as the visible church today, not the true church, not the church that assembles the people who are of true faith and have believed to the saving of the soul, the Lord Jesus Christ, but this visible church that is out in the world today, and they still, just as it was in Jeremiah's day, you have these false prophets who would rise up and they would point people elsewhere apart from that of saving faith in Jesus Christ. The things taught. These two are worthless. These two are things that are nothing but idols in that sense. Because as noted there in that 14th verse, they prophesy these things, these false visions, the divination, a worthless thing they see. These are the things they say. And doing so, it's just deceit of their heart. You hear all kinds of stuff, friends, if you watch TV at all, and then something about religion comes up. And it can be about far as the religion of Christianity or Islam or any other particular religion that is out in this world. But for us, my attention gets caught with that when something pops up on the news or see a video of something that pertains to Christianity. And you have these individuals that will be proclaiming that certain aspects of the Christian, supposed the Christian faith. And then when it gets down to it, when they've had their moment in the sun, their moment before the camera, and they are not pointing people to Jesus Christ, but they're pointing people elsewhere. They're pointing people not to have faith in God, not to put their hope in God alone, but they point them more to the social aspects of the world of which we live in. And it's a shame because, again, we see that a lot of people, because it certainly sounds good, the things of which they express, certainly they are things that probably, that do, not even probably, but do need our attention. When we think of poverty, the homeless, the poor, all those kinds of things, it certainly directs our attention. But one thing that is always left out that we see, it is that of the gospel. If we can just rise above where we're at now and we can give these people the things of which they need at this moment, whether it be food or clothing or housing, health care, whatever the case is going to be, and we're not presenting the gospel, it is as God says here, it is a worthless thing. It's deceit in their hearts. You've got some that hold powerful positions within churches today, within Christendom, that would deny the resurrection of Christ. And these are leaders. They would deny the virgin birth. They would deny the need for the atonement, that Christ, that would not be something of which people would need for the death of Christ on the cross. That's not what we need. And friends, that leads people astray. They point them, if you can just be good enough, if you can just do good things, if you and I can just treat each other right and just help others, then that's all that's required, that's all that's necessary. And we understand today that that is not the case at all. That's not what we see through the length and breadth of Scripture. We know that we need a Savior. We know that we ultimately need a Savior. Can we help in the restoration of some of these things? Yes, that's something that we can do. But friends, when we pull away from the foundational doctrines of the faith, when we point people elsewhere, that's heretical. That leads people into idolatry. That is pointing people to an oasis that's in a desert, but it ends up being just a mirage. It never itself will certainly satisfy the longing of the soul. All other fountains dry up. When we think of things that people try to find their spirituality in, when people try to cling again to government, to other people, to false religions, to that of certain ideologies or worldviews, and they think that this will be the utopia for all humanity, we find here that those fountains will dry up. You notice when you're going down the road, and I don't understand all of it, but when you're in the hot summertime, when you're riding down the road, and you see that looks like just water, that reflective. As a kid, man, that was just crazy to me. Look, there's water in the road, and then we get up there, and where's the water gone? My dad, he used to have a field day with that. But you know, that's what happens when people are pointing to worthless idols. It looks like there's a pool of water there. But when we arrive, it's not what we expected. Those fountains, they dry up. That kingdom itself can be shaken. And that kingdom is shaken. But we, as the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are receiving a kingdom that can never be shaken. Those people there in the day of Nahum, they had a focus. They were thinking possibly that this kingdom could never be shaken. But see, that was a world view. That was looking at it not through the eyes of God, but it was through the eyes of just worldlings. Of thinking, of look at our great power. Look what we've able to accumulate. Look at all that we've done. Does it remind us of any nation today? Isaiah 40, going back to that, as I said, if you could keep your hand there for a moment, or your finger there, Isaiah chapter 40. But we understand that as we read through the pages of Scripture, that we know that God Himself, that when we speak of the water of which those people, of which Nineveh represented at one time, was a pool in a desert, that God Himself gives water that is eternal. That God Himself is a fountain that is overflowing with those who would cry out and desire that of water to calm or soothe their thirst. The book tells us over in the book of Revelation, as we look at chapter 7 there, it speaks about how the Lord Himself, that He is that of one who gives water. Chapter 7, looking at verse 17, it's the last verse of chapter 7, it says, "For the Lamb of God," when it speaks about that time to come, "for the Lamb of God who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eye." A living fountain of water. Not something that is dead, but something God offers that brings about life. Those things of which Nineveh had and held on to, those things ultimately would bring death. And so do those worthless idols that we've spoken about. When people are pointed to those things ultimately bring death. But what God offers to us, a kingdom that cannot be shaken, a kingdom that will last for eternity, a life that God gives us that can never, ever be removed. And we close with Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. I think this is clear enough for what we've been speaking about tonight. When we speak, refer along to the lines of God's faithfulness to those who have put their hope and trust in Him. That of chapter 12, looking at verse 25. The Bible says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on the earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven." So we understand that God is speaking and God is calling out to people to follow after him, not to be carried away with worthless idols, not to be trusting in man, not to be trusting in government, not to be trusting in anything but God alone. He says, "How do you think we will escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven? Whose voice, when God spoke, it, the Bible says, then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also heaven." And that's what we have in the power of the person of Christ. That Christ has come to this earth and he shook the establishment. He shook that known world. He took 12 men, 12 simple men at that particular time. He took those just common everyday folks of life and he turned them, as the Bible says, that those 12 men at that point, as they went out and proclaimed the gospel, they were able to turn the world upside down. God shaking the earth with his word through people who have put their trust and faith in him. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, "Once yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven." Now this "yet once more" indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. The things that shaken, idols, nations, of people, of religions, of the ideologies, the philosophies of man, those things being shaken to their core. And then he says with that the things that cannot be shaken, therefore, those things will remain. Therefore, verse 28, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. You and I are not trusting today, I hope, in worthless idols. We're not just trusting in the government. We're just not trusting in what we've been able to accumulate. We're not trusting in some pastor to get you to heaven, that one day that they might pull you in here and put you in front of this altar rail laid out in a casket and you're hoping that the pastor can preach you on through the gate. It just won't happen. I don't care who the pastor is, this one included. We can't get you there. But we want to make sure our faith that we've holding on to something right now that cannot be shaken. The Bible there says, since we are receiving, that we know this, that we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. What does he say? Let us have grace, because folks, we need grace every day. We had grace that day we were saved, but we continue to need the grace of God every day of our lives. I still continue to hold on to grace. Yesterday's grace I used up. And I need a fresh supply of grace today. And if I live to see tomorrow morning, I will need a fresh supply of grace tomorrow. I'll need God's unmerited favor in my life tomorrow. I will need the grace of God once again. And he says here, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So what does he say for us that we receive this grace of God? We know what we have. As a born-again Christian, you know that you have assurance that you are established upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ, not to be shaken, not to be moved. One that the Bible says that our foot, it will not slip, it will not fall off that rock. God himself holding us on. And here that we receive this grace, knowing these things, that we receive this grace that we may serve God acceptably. We may serve God in the right way. Not to be caught up in this stuff like I've gone over this evening. We know better than that. I hope we would. That we know better than that. But that we may serve the Lord. Serve God acceptably with what? Reverence. That we honor God. We do it God's way. That we revere him. That he is revered. He has showed us how you and I are to live our daily lives. Very clear. Very clear. That we revere him that way in obedience. and also with godly fear, that we stand in awe of God. And I believe, as I think along the lines of my own life and as life of the church, the world as a whole, that that's something we've lost, is godly fear. You know, when I was coming up, and it's rehashed here recently because, as many of you know, they stole the ladders and the plywood from it. You know what I've heard the most? You know, can you even guess what I've heard the most? People will say, what kind of low life would steal from the church? You know, that's a low somebody that would steal from the church. When I was coming up, there were a few things you didn't mess with. Even though I could be just as sneaky as any other kid, I could do some things that I regret now. But there were a few things I didn't mess with. I didn't mess with the church, and I didn't mess with graveyards. I just didn't fool with those two things. The church, as a child, as a kid, that was a place that was revered. That was God's place. Now, I may have not been a saved person, but there was an amount of godly fear in my life. You didn't fool with the house of God, and you didn't go tramping through no graveyards messing up. That was two things you didn't do. Now, for others, it may have been more, but that was for me. But today, there's an element of godly fear that is lost. We don't respect that of the things of God anymore. I believe it's like we, as John has noted in Bible study, and we've talked about it before, that there's just a downplaying of the authority of the Word. We don't look at the Word as we used to, as authoritative. It's that of what God has set before us that you and I walk in day by day. And then in that 29th verse, it says, for God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. So we need grace today. You and I need grace. There are things out there in this world that may be attractive to us. They may look like the Ninevehs. What can ever bring this down? Man, this is the greatest thing. And there's always that idea that as we move along that we're going to be so much better and we'll have greater understanding. But as I spoke with some people this past weekend and some of the things that's going on in the mainline denominations, that they're just turning their back on God. They're turning their back upon what God has spoken in His Word. There's no more godly fear. There's no more godly awe. There's no more reverencing for God. We've just come to a place where we've got it figured out, and these are the things we're going to lean on. We don't need Him anymore.
Dear brethren, that wraps us up for this morning. If you would like this sermon or any other in its entirety, please feel free to call 410-623-2401 or drop us a note in the mail, 5910 Crisfield Highway, Marion Station, Maryland, 21838, or look us up on our website. God bless you all, and have a wonderful week in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Beautiful you are, and how great your affections are for